Welcome to the L&R Communications podcast series. Today, we're speaking with one of our most favorite partners and one who we consider to be a creative marketing genius and a great friend. We're talking about Cindy Dumont, CEO and creative director at True Blue Branding. And Cindy, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. I'm really excited to have you today. I know we're going to be talking about some pretty interesting things. And I know you and I have talked a lot about recently the future of digital marketing, and it's just changing so fast. And there's a lot of crazy and interesting things on the horizon. And before we get to that part of this interview, let's start at the top. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and tell us about True Blue Branding.
All right. So a little background about myself. I started out as a designer back in the day with a BFA in communications. And I had this dream to own an ad agency. I was working for someone else and really kind of didn't like the scenario of how that guy was operating and thought, hey, I could do this better. So I set out on my own, and I've been fortunate enough to work with people as brilliant as yourself and some great clients and brands along the way. So
that's
been
great.
Quite the ride.
Yeah, that's funny. I think we all have those stories that pushed us out to create our own firms and our own consultancies, that sometimes it takes a not so positive work situation to push you into the freedom zone or jump off the cliff. I'm certainly familiar with that.
Right. So, and every situation that you have, if you learn from it, it was never a bad situation. It's a good one.
Oh, totally. That's exactly how I look back on my life before L&R Communications. Like everything that led up to it, positive and negative, kind of shaped us to be where we are. And a lot of it was lessons learned. Like, what did I learn along the way, good and bad, from working for other firms? And how can I bring that forward to today? And I'm sure you took that same approach too.
Exactly. It's the best approach to take, I think.
Yeah. Well, speaking of approach, tell us about your approach to serving your clients.
So I prefer to work with clients where we're fully integrated. So what that means is we're truly partnering with them, because I feel like if we know everything about a client, we truly get into the head of the brand. And what that allows us to do is, you know, jump right in whenever there's a project. There's no learning curve. You already know and can anticipate client needs because you know the brand so well. But it also helps us to help them with planning and guide them where they should go in the future. And I think that, you know, it's a little bit more seamless when you work in that way, as opposed to, hey, here's a project, and then, you know, here's another project, and you don't see the big picture in that regard. In terms of service, I always like to tell clients, you know, nothing's impossible. And I truly believe that in marketing, nothing is impossible. But, you know, sometimes there's things that aren't practical. A lot of times clients will come to me and say, hey, you know, we just saw that this other brand, they did this and it was so cool. Let's do that. Well, you know, you have to take a step back and say, is that right for your brand? Is that, you know, resonating with your marketing plan? Just because it's cool and it's out there doesn't mean you should necessarily do it. So I think that's really important. And I think that's where we, you know, are an integral partner with the brands that we work with, in the fact that we can give them that guidance as well.
Yeah, that's a great point there. And one of the things I've often noted from our work together is your ability to execute something creatively very fast, very rapidly, and very much on point. It's actually kind of mind-blowing, and it's inspiring for me. So in terms of your creativity, where do you think it comes from?
It's funny, like I always felt like creativity was something that was very internal. It's something that you have inside of you. And I think that, you know, if you're creative and you develop that creativity, you're more open to inspiration. And for me, inspiration is something that comes externally. And it's something that, you know, just comes to you from a source. I don't even know whether it's the world or whatever. But I feel like if you're creative enough, that inspiration will come to you and flow to you. And you'll see inspiration in things like everyday objects or events. But I think the more creative you are, the more open you are to receiving that.
That makes total sense. I firmly agree in that. It's keeping the mind open at all times while also absorbing as much information as possible, whether it is art, films, literature, reading up on all of your clients' messaging. And I often find that what I do is a little exercise is I'll go for a morning hike or a morning jog and just let my mind open. And by the time I come back, I often have several ideas that I'm very excited about for client work and even for fun stuff like songwriting. I think you're right. I think it's just keeping the heart and mind open while also always absorbing information to kind of drive and make those connections.
That's a really great point, because I think when you try to force creativity, you sort of get locked down. But if you open your mind up and sort of clear your mind, it just comes to you.
Very much so. And that's a perfect segue for my next question. And do you think creativity is a skill that can be learned?
I do think it's a skill that can be developed. So I really, truly believe that everybody's creative. And I think that creativity is like a muscle. If you use it, it'll get stronger and it'll grow. And if you don't use it, you'll lose it. But I really believe that creativity is not just limited to like art or design or writing. I think it's very easy for us to say, oh, they're creative because they can, you know, write or they can draw or whatever. But the more and more I see and more I learn, I feel like there's people that are mathematicians and scientists and IT people that are extremely creative in how they approach their world and their problems. So it's just that their creativity is a little bit different than mine. So yeah. I do believe it is something that can be learned and nurtured.
That's great. Yeah, I think it is too. Much like writing. I mean, a lot of people when they start out, they're like, well, I'm not a confident writer. I don't feel like I got the right training that I needed when I was younger in college or whatever. And it's a craft. Writing is a craft that can be learned and honed over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm still becoming a better writer after being in this business for over 20 years. I also agree that creativity, and I think a lot of people have that like fear. Well, I've never considered myself to be a creative person, so I can't do that. And that's just like a huge barrier right. That I think most people should overcome and not view themselves as being that way. And like you said, they don't need to go out and, you know, start painting and drawing and, you know, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. It can be in anything, in everyday ideas for a new blog post that ties back into, I don't know, you know, a cybersecurity offering, whatever you're into right. professionally, there are ways to hone that craft.
Right. Or an IT person building a network in a new and different way. That to me is creative.
Yes. And you know, that's a great point because IT technologies, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, is just moving so quickly and so rapidly that everybody has to be creative, you know, from the IT person yeah. to the marketing people, to the CEO, the C-suite, figuring out new markets and new partnerships and new channels for selling their product. That's interesting. I never really thought about it that way. Everybody needs to be creative.
Right. And everybody needs a little bit of technology, too. I think that the world of working in a silo, and I only know this, is rapidly changing thanks to digital.
Yeah. And speaking of digital, let's talk about the evolution of digital marketing. It's certainly gone through some major changes over the past 10 years. How do you see it evolving? There's a lot of crazy stuff on the horizon.
Yes, and I would say it's on the horizon, but I would also say it's here already. So in my opinion, digital marketing is going to, and it already has been, getting a tremendous amount of influence from AI, you know, artificial intelligence. So your Siri's, your Alexa's, those kind of things. And as AI grows and becomes more of an acceptable way for consumers to get information and services and products, it's going to eventually become the gatekeeper of the relationship between the brand and the consumer. So I'll give you an example. Just picture if Alexa not only says, you know, like use it to order things, say, Alexa, order me more soap, right? So what if Alexa not only learns about your product likes and dislikes, but also gets to know your patterns and your lifestyle? Then Alexa or any other AI, I'm using Alexa as an example, can elevate itself from an order-taking assistant, an assistant that's able to make suggestions about the products and services that might interest you or suit your lifestyle. If you think about that, when that happens and it learns more about you, that relationship, that marketing relationship, will shift from the traditional brand going to the consumer structure, and it's going to have a new AI to consumer. So that's kind of a huge impact for brands. So if AI is in control of the whole customer relationship and, you know, the segmentation information and the purchase patterns and the behaviors, it also becomes an integral part of the decision-making process for a consumer. So when that starts to happen, I believe that AI assistants like Alexa are going to start offering a paid offering for getting your brand in front of those consumers, sort of like the same thing that Google does with AdWords. It's going to have, you know, sponsored, you know, information or product suggestions that are paid for. So that's going to be a huge impact on how brands actually not only brand themselves, market themselves, but also how they adapt in terms of developing new products and, you know, what their offering is to consumers. Now, my fear with this from a development standpoint, I feel like in terms of innovation, if brands are relying on a certain set of information based off of an AI algorithm, and if all brands are tapping into this algorithm and that set of information, then will product SKUs in, you know, stores and everything become a little bit more concise, because brands are only going to develop and adapt their product offering for what they think customers want based off of this algorithm. So to me, that impacts innovation in terms of, you know, making everything fairly homogenized. So when you think about it, there's a whole amount of changes that can just happen because of AI.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. And one of the things that you brought up there is that it could be like Google AdWords, where it is pay to get your products recommended to the right consumer based on their likes and desires and wants. Do you think leading up to that, or kind of in concert with that, will there be like organic SEO, but for influencing Alexa to make recommendations?
There very well could be, because I think that digital agencies will then have to get smart and try to interpret these algorithms. And traditionally, you know, Google and Amazon, they don't go out and say, hey, here's what our algorithm specifically does. But they give you suggestions on how to best, you know, develop your SEO to get the best results from the algorithm. So I think there'll be a huge special in that case for internal marketing departments and for ad agencies. But additionally, this impact is also going to impact some roles within those organizations. So right now, you have the chief marketing officer doing his thing, and you have the chief information officer doing their thing. And they sort of are their own little silos, and marketing is, you know, innovative and creative and all this. And, you know, the CIO, they all focus on data. Well, it's going to be extremely important as we move forward that those roles kind of intertwine and talk to each other and collaborate, because for any organization to be profitable, they're not only going to need creativity and innovation, they're going to have to understand the data and these algorithms. And what I do see, and what is already happening, is a lot of the larger companies, you know, in the world are starting to hire chief digital officers, which is sort of a conglomeration of both of those roles. And I feel like if we don't adapt as designers and creative people, we're going to be left out in the cold.
Yes, there's a lot of change happening here. And you and I talked about this earlier. So a lot of our clients tend to fall into the B2B or the business to government space. A lot of companies selling technologies and innovations to the government. And, you know, the government tends to be a little bit behind in terms of the consumer curve when it comes to technology adoption. But this very well could be down the road where a government decision maker, say a CIO at a federal agency, has some sort of Alexa that feeds up information to him or her about the solutions that they should choose, say if they're implementing a new cloud computing system or if they're building out some sort of cyber offering. So this could make its way into the B2B and B2G space, don't you think?
I definitely do. And I think that, you know, there's so many things, you know, in terms of data that the government or private sectors could buy. So that also brings up a whole other situation in terms of privacy. And that's a huge hot button right now, you know, especially with the whole Facebook thing. But, you know, how much of your information is going to be private?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. In fact, it was that Harvard Business Review article that you sent to me. That was one of kind of the, I don't know if it was a challenge or hurdle, but it seems like consumers in general, after a little while, once they get used to giving away their data, they tend to be relatively okay with it. They turn the blind eye, right?
Yeah. And I don't think they pay attention. You know, who reads those privacy statements? You know, that's a big problem in today's world. And then they get upset, or, you know, and I would too, when your privacy is compromised.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Cindy, this is awesome. You've certainly enlightened me on the future. I'm very excited and slightly scared by it, but this is certainly certainly helping me. And I know you're in the same boat, to be adaptive. As small agency owners ourselves, we need to be on the forefront, much like social media was the new thing that we had to get our arms around back in 2008. AI is the whole new world that we all, CMOs internally and us agency people, need to embrace. We can't run from it and hide from it, because it's coming.
Oh, it's here. And one thing for certain, and that's change. I don't think it's going to stop. And I think obviously it's going to keep on moving forward. We just need to keep ourselves, you know, on the top of our game and in touch with all things digital.
Yeah, we definitely do. And speaking of the future, what does the future hold for True Blue Branding?
Well, again, all things digital. I think in terms of what we always try to do is we always try to make sure that we're staying informed on the latest innovations, whether it's AI, e-commerce, mobile, social, and obviously augmented reality, which is a huge, huge up and coming too as well. So I think the more that we stay on top of these trends, the better we can serve our clients and guide them.
That's awesome, Cindy. You know, this has been an awesome, fun, super fun podcast. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. Is there anything else to add today? Anything we may have missed?
Not that I can think of. You know, we should probably do another podcast down the line on augmented reality. I think that's a whole other untapped market that's coming our way really fast.
Oh, interesting. All right. That would be fantastic. Good. Yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch on that. And I would love to talk further about that. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive L&R Communications podcast interview with Cindy Dumont, CEO and Creative Director at True Blue Branding. And as we mentioned, Cindy has been a long-term partner of ours, in many ways, we consider her our creative genius and our secret weapon. And she's done some tremendous work for our clients. And I love collaborating with her. And now, based on this podcast, Cindy is educating me and hopefully everybody else on the future of digital marketing. And Cindy, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thanks, Matt. It's always a pleasure talking to you.